Welcome to another edition of Politics and Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. We're honored to have U.S. Marine Doug, also known as Nikki's dad. He's the author of The Warrior Within, who says life is meant to be lived, not merely existed. He challenges the warrior spirit that resides in all of us to be brutally honest with our reflection in order to release ourselves from the prison of our own making. He also challenges the issues in our political environment, encouraging those sleeping to overcome the emotional manipulation by those seeking or intent on holding on to power. Before we get started, welcome to Politics Done Right. Doug, how are you doing today?
I am doing well. Hope you are as well.
I am doing fine. I understand that you became from Marine to writer. How did that happen?
That's a part-time gig, I guess the writing is. The Marine let me take on project management skills, and that's what I've been focused on since I've gotten out, and I'm currently a project manager in the financial industry. But again, the accountability aspect and responsibility as a Marine, and most veterans do this, they take personal accountability and individual responsibility, not just for themselves, but for the mission as a whole. And that led well into a project management because you focus on the problem, regardless of what your personal beliefs may be. The writing came about out of the blue during the pandemic. I was inspired by several events, specifically seeing a Swedish singer named Dear Molly Sandén. And that kind of prompted the second writing, the book called Dear Molly. But you never know when inspiration is going to hit you or where it's going to move you. So when I started writing The Warrior Within, it started about who I was, how I came to believe the things I did and the things I went through and the process. So that's why I wanted to share that with everybody because, you know, when you know yourself, when you acknowledge yourself, you don't have to write a book, you don't have to put an ad in the paper, but when you can acknowledge yourself and the things you've done and how you've learned, people don't have power over you anymore. You're less likely to react or respond to emotional rhetoric or emotional BS that someone wants you to. And we see that now in our political environment. Politicians are engaged in culture wars, or they're doing and saying things that are meant to just enrage us emotionally. And when you're emotional, you don't think a lot. You don't think clearly. You don't think straight. And a lot of times what they do after they get you upset is they ask you for money. And you're like, oh, let me write a check. Well, that's by design. So the whole concept is, let's take a step back. Let's think about this reasonably, rationally, and we can solve the problem all together.
You know what is great is that everything, I don't know where you are on the political spectrum, but absolutely everything that you said there, I agree with.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything that you said there, I agree with. Because I think right now, most Americans are being played. And the part that I like within the warrior, when you talk about to be brutally, I undertake a brutally honest assessment of the reflection in the mirror after experiences the worst regret in my life. You Yep. looked in the mirror.
Yep.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, again, it's, you know, the road we're all traveling is different for everybody. So we've got to be aware of, and, you know, there's no greater enemy than the person that you kid yourself to who you are, the things that we might lie to ourselves about. So when I found out about a loved one, Jill was her name. She passed, but I didn't find out it for a couple of months, and I did love her, but I just, something didn't get me over that edge. I was still afraid of something and I didn't understand what that was. And when I had heard she had passed, it took me 4 months to find, I found out 4 months after it happened. And when I got back after visiting her son, I said, I need to find out why, because I don't want to go through this again. Regret sucks. And especially if it's something that you're holding, you know, you're keeping yourself prisoner in your own prison of your own making, these kind of things. So I went through that brutally honest assessment within to find out, you know, what was it? So I went through and I detailed the things that I looked at in the book, everything that I could from my first memory through current day. And it came about. No, I was afraid because of certain things in my upbringing to be that honest with a loved one. And I'm like, from that point forward, never again. I will find a way to make sure that any fear or concern or apprehension I have, as apprehensive as I may be, I am going to bring it up to somebody. Because if I can't have that communication with someone that I love, then what good am I doing to myself? Because I'm going to keep myself prisoner in some way if I don't. So again, seeing that reflection and opening yourself up and going back again, when you can acknowledge yourself, nobody has really any control over you. Yeah, you might get upset by something, but they can't manipulate you. So
now what within your upbringing you felt kept you sort of reserved, kind of not expressing the things that you really wanted to express? Because I think that's the genesis of many of our problems. How we were reared has a huge impact in who we become, and breaking those chains of how we were reared to become a better person is very difficult. So let me hear that.
It can be. And, you know, for parents out there, if you want your children to come to you with hard questions, then you have to be the kind of parent that has discussions with your children, even though you're scared. And there was a phrase I had seen, you know, I don't know if I know it correctly, the right verbiage, but we want to be the parents or the adults that we never had when we were children. So what it was about my upbringing is, you know, in a large family, and I'll say a little bit of a stressful, because my dad, you know, he was a mechanical engineer, and he loved it doing what he was a perfectionist. He loved making sure the attention to detail and everything, but sometimes he wasn't the most warm and inviting person. So we kind of walked on eggshells. And one of the worst things, and it might be a generational component, you know, wait till your father gets home, which we always lived in fear. And it's like, well, we really shouldn't fear our parents. You know, obviously we don't want to disappoint them, but with the kids, we were all like, you know, we didn't want to be in trouble when the old man got home because we were to get a belt to our backsides. And I had the blessing. I have a younger brother who was 20 months younger. It didn't matter what I did. And I wasn't terrible, but whatever I did, he was going to do something worse. So all the blame would go on him. But walking on that eggshells is probably what had me apprehensive about being completely honest with loved ones in certain things. And once I got rid of that, it's an uplifting. It's a freeing. There's no more baggage you're carrying around. And it's a balance, because you're not talking to somebody, you're talking with them. So to learn those aspects, and then taking, obviously, the warrior spirit from my Marine Marine training, it's like, no, I can handle this. I can find this. And if I don't, well, let me talk to somebody who might. You have family, you have friends. And if I needed to, I could always seek professional help. And sometimes that's a weight somebody might carry on them. But we may not know it. So let's not take that fear of not knowing, and somebody else can help us. Let's go for it. Because again, when we can lift that weight off our shoulders, the life we live from that point on is so much freer. So
you just stung me a bit. You said my father was a mechanical engineer, and he was very methodical in the way he did things. And I've had my daughter tell me that I'm a mechanical engineer as well. And it's interesting, because there are a lot of things that I've had to change personally because of the rigidity that comes with that kind of that mathematical type thinking mind. So it makes a difference. Now let's expand on that. And I think that relates to your book somewhat as well. You're a Marine, you're a warrior. I think it's a double-edged sword, right? You spoke earlier that you came in, that it gave you the structure to be able to do what you're doing right now, which is project management, which it gave you that structure, but it also gave you a certain discipline of compliance, right? In other words, there's a hierarchy there, and your thoughts and beliefs don't necessarily matter in that hierarchy. This is what you're going to do. Let's go ahead, do it. This is a mission as the leadership set it up. That's how you do it. That's kind of anathema to freedom, or anathema to the non-military society or the non-military part of our society, isn't it so?
It is. But, you know, if you take any problem and get rid of the noise from the outside, whether it's the media, whether it's, you know, the political pundits, whether it's politicians who don't really serve the people, because I think there's a clear distinction today where you have individuals who are truly trying to serve the American people and those that are trying to manipulate the American people. And that's obvious. Now, how can we discern the difference? Like you said, your daughter, it's only through the eyes of somebody else where we might see ourselves that might open us up to I am rigid or I'm this. And it's only when we're willing to listen to someone else that we can say, okay, let me take a look at myself and see if this is applicable. Well, the same thing goes in project management. When we take a problem, you know, we have our past, we have our baggage, we have our maybe our personal biases in there. But when you have a team effort, you focus on the problem. Okay, you develop the root causes of the problem, and then you develop a solution for each of those root causes. And that goes back to one of the most poignant pieces of advice that I got when I was in the Marine Corps. I was at the inspector instructor staff in Richmond, Virginia, and my first sergeant, I had come to him with a problem. And he said, before I even got the problem out, he said, don't come to me with a problem unless you have a potential solution in mind. He didn't say the solution. He just said the potential solution. And what that meant is, if you have a potential solution, you're thinking outside of the box to solve it. You're not just complaining about the problem. And that's part of the political environment now. You have a lot of people who are lying, misleading, and misrepresenting the actual issue to try and get money from you, but they're not actually trying to solve the problem. And, you know, and then they take something and how do you apply that? So we're missing a step there. Yeah, like, look at the border crisis. You'll hear the rhetoric say one thing, but you can't apply the rhetoric. You've got to apply a law. So you got to be wise to that. And it's only through trial and error, maybe a family member, your daughter, a son, whoever it might be that points this out, maybe you ought to look at this a little bit more. And so from that military perspective, take a problem. Let's come up with the root causes. And then let's try and solve for each one and move forward on those. And it's easier said than done, but you see one side of the aisle doing it or trying to do it, and they're fighting all the other chaos that's out there. So,
yeah, I'm interested because, I mean, ideology plays a part, right? I mean, yes. The ideological divide is real. But as I said on my KPFT program this morning, mm-hmm. If you look at the vast majority of Americans, hell, the vast majority of people in the world, we all want the same things.
Yes.
We all need the same things.
Right.
Ideology often presents a problem. I always thought that if we went ahead and put humans first, what are the requirements that humans have?
Yes.
And built everything around that, instead of claiming what makes business better.
Right.
And then try to put, I think that would always be the solution to the problem, say you.
I would agree, yeah. Because when you look at, okay, take corporate America. Okay, they're only interested typically in taking care of the shareholder. Mm-hmm. Okay, the stock price. And we see that manipulation. Remember back in 2017 when Paul Ryan was the speaker and all that they did of the things that they had passed was to lower taxes for corporations. And then they showed a little brief video of like 200 or so CEOs in some meeting and saying, okay, if we gave you these corporate tax refunds or whatever rebates or lowered your taxes, how many of you would actually increase your employee's salary or benefits? And only like two out of the 200 raised their hands. Well, you see it now where they will buy back stock to raise the stock price, which is a little bit of a manipulation because their compensation goes on stock price. But about a year or so later, there were several CEOs from Fortune 500 companies who penned a letter and basically said, we need to do the opposite because this wasn't working. And that was when you take care of the stakeholder, when you take care of the employee, when you take care of the community in which you're operating, whether it be, you know, more services or better hours or whatever it might be. When you take care of the stakeholder, you're still going to make money. In fact, you're going to be more resilient because your employees know you care, the community knows you care, and you're a good corporate citizen rather than just wanting the almighty dollar. And from that perspective, I think that some European countries and corporations in Europe understand that. That's why you see, you know, they do pay higher taxes in Europe, especially like some of the Nordic countries, but they have free healthcare, even though they do pay some co-payments. They have free education through college. Look at those two things, and most people struggle because one paycheck and you can't get your medication or you're hospitalized with this. It's a stress that doesn't need to be there. Yeah, and there are more, this is the funny thing I found out too a couple years ago. Okay, so Sweden has about 11 million people in it, and I think they're running through some problems now. But before all this happened, there were more millionaires in a country of 11 million per capita than there were here in the United States per capita. And, you know, we've got like 100 plus billionaires or whatever it is. But when you look at it, again, they're paying a higher tax rate than we are, and they're happier. These Nordic countries, Iceland, Finland, Norway, Green, all of them up there, every time there's a happiness kind of like survey, they're the happiest, but they're in the frozen tundra and everything. So how is it that they can be in some of the coldest places for several months out of the year and yet be the happiest? It's because there are certain elements that are taken care of. Their family, look at what they do for the family. They have like a year and 3 months of paid family leave, and they really do take care of the family. Whereas down here, it's a talking point. It's regurgitated rhetoric and everything else. So taking on corporate America, yeah, I love the entrepreneurship. I want you to make your money. But if we truly want to be that light, a shining light on a hill, then let's do that. And it takes more than just rhetoric to do it. And that, you know, means we have to discuss this.
As a U.S. Marine and so forth, and I need to let the audience know that I hadn't a clue what was your political or economic ideology. I just asked the question straight. No. And it is clear. Let me just say something about the Nordic countries. Interestingly, in as much as their nominal tax rates higher than ours, the reality is ours is much higher when you take into account that, do you have to have health insurance? Yes. Does that cost? Yes. Do you? Yeah. I mean, when you add all the other things that they get for that extra tax that they pay, it supersedes the other requirements, all the requirements that we have here to exist. I watched a TikTok last night, in fact, and this Mexican national came on TV and says, you know, you Americans make a lot more money than we do. But you know what? I can go to the restaurant, $2, and it gives me a full meal.
Yeah.
$2. And they start itemizing how much everything costs there. And by the end of the day, somebody that makes $1,000 a month, they have a lot of money left over.
Yes.
They said, you make $3,500 a month or $5,000 a month. By the time you're done with rent and all the, they go through all these things. And he did an itemized list of what a Mexican pays and what an American pays. And they make five times, he showed a change five times amount. And this person had a happier index because they went out and eat often. They went and did the things that they wanted because it was all affordable.
Right. Well, and look at this. I mean, a lot of Americans are merely existing in life.
Mm-hmm.
Going to our work, we're paying the bills, but we're really not taking vacations, or we're not going out to the festivals or the events and experiencing a cultural event or an artisan craft show or, you know, a group talking about whatever it is they want to talk about and engaging in that way. We're not engaged with our neighbors. We've got our heads down, wheel to the grindstone, and then 50 years goes by and it's like, well, damn, where did it all go? So we're not really living life. We're only existing in it. And to some people in this country, that's what they want. And I'll say it this way, and I don't want to offend, but it's almost like financial slavery. because they want the poor in the middle class to stay poor in middle class, or even be less like that, to serve the kings and queens or the corporations. And we've become such a disposable society in this country. You don't really have products that are made to last anymore. So when you do have, and when you go to, even sometimes when you go to a Mexican restaurant here, you still get a good plate of food and it's reasonably priced. And again, when you're able to, you don't have to earn as much, but when you're able to live your quality of life at such a level, you're not going to, I know I would not, I don't want anybody to live like the Kardashians or to be on one of these reality TV shows, but what success is being able to choose the life you live. And whether that's jet setting across the world or hiking across the Appalachian Trail or whatever it is you want to do, having the success to choose that life is really the only success that you can really have, because you're living it. You're living this life, not just existing in it. But with corporations, they do this. They, some of them, and again, that's going back to when they take care of the stakeholders, they don't have to pay them, you know, $25, $30 an hour when they're realistic is that it's $15, $20. I'm not asking them to pay off their mortgage, but when they take care of the stakeholders, they are going to get a more satisfied workforce than by treating them as just a number.
No doubt. So, let me tell you, it's amazing because never spoke to you before.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is the same terminology that you came, that you evolved to, that in effect, we're back into a new kind of slavery. It's the same thing I talk about on my program. I call it antiseptic slavery. And I said, where in the past slavery looked like me, mm-hmm. now slavery looks like us. Because we are in the point now where we've used one group up. We've got to get to the next level. And guess what, Doug? It's you. It's you. Welcome to the club. Now, my last question that I always ask is, what would you have liked me to ask you that I didn't?
That's a good question. I really don't know. I like having the conversations, you know. Again, I guess, what will it take, you know, for inspiration, for people to be inspired? What will it take for people to wake up and see that they're being manipulated? And again, that's
tell me.
Oh, I'm trying to think here. I had it on the tip of my tongue. Well, like when you look at, okay, taking a look at it a little bit on the, like you asked before about my politics, I'm an independent, have been since the early 80s. When you look at some of the politicians, again, they're not doing what's right for you. They're only doing what's right for them. And we have one political party that is a domestic terrorist organization, in my view, right now. Okay. And when you look at just one simple thing that they tried to do, okay, everybody pays taxes, or at least everybody's supposed to pay taxes. But the GOP fought like crazy to make sure that the IRS did not get additional funding for upgraded computers and software, to use AI to help audit large financial tax returns. They didn't want to replace the IRS agents who are going to retire in 10 years. They fought giving the IRS more money to do this, so the federal government couldn't operate the way it was. And then they yell about how the federal government doesn't work. So they do this because their donors are the wealthy, the millionaires, the billionaires, the corporations who give them money. So again, I look at them, they're a domestic terrorist organization because they only use rhetoric. They're not going to do anything to actually improve your life. So the question is going to be is, how do we wake up from this slumber that some people seem to be sleeping in? They just seem to be wanting to pretend to be asleep. And I don't have the answer, but it comes one day at a time, one person at a time. Again, you didn't realize, you know, the methodical nature of your trade until maybe your daughter had said something. So we got to be aware that universal messages come when we're ready to hear them. So whether it's political, spiritual, religion, whatever it is in your journey, how do we open ourselves more than our eyes to be awake to hear the universal messages that are meant for us? I don't know that I have the answer for everybody, but the key, I think, is going to be to understand yourself, to know yourself, to acknowledge your story so that nobody else can manipulate you. And then you may start seeing, hearing, and feeling things that make your path brighter, the weight you carry lighter, and you're actually living life, not just existing in it. So I don't know if that was a question or if it was more.
I don't often say this.
Yeah.
You were humble in saying you don't know if you have the answer.
Yeah.
And I'm going to answer that with saying that was in fact the answer. The warrior within, folks, this is Doug Nitzi's dad, author of The Warrior Within, and it is the warrior within that's going to solve this problem that we have in the country. Thank you so kindly for having been on Politics Done Right.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.